here today, and I always enjoy speaking to kids in school. How many are having fun today in school? All right. That's great, man. I hope you're not lying there, because when I was in school and they would ask that question, I didn't raise my hand. But I'm glad that you're having fun in school and you're able to be here. I do want to introduce my family, my wife back here in the back there, Miss Catherine, and then our kids also, Daniel, Rachel, and Deborah. And I do want them to sing. Would you guys come up here this morning and sing a song? They're going to sing a song in Russian. Actually, in Ukrainian. If you guys could sing Yakulin. And then I think they also sing it in English after that then. So go ahead and sing, right? For that special to be over, and it's great that they serve the Lord also with us in our church. They also do a lot of specials there in our church, and I'm excited, glad that our family loves to serve the Lord together. That's great. You ought to serve the Lord. Even kids can serve the Lord. You know, I grew up in a preacher's home, and I was so glad my dad gave me opportunity to serve the Lord. I surrendered to preach when I was 15 years old. Any 15-year-old guys in here today? Anybody 15? Nobody in here 15. I was 15 when I surrendered to preach. I was so scared, so shy, didn't want to stand up in front of anybody, didn't want to do anything. And I remember when I came forward and I surrendered my life to God to preach, and I came forward that night, and it was a Sunday night, I came forward and told my dad, God's calling me to preach. Well, I was excited, and in my mind, I was thinking that means 10, 15, 20 years from now, I'll preach a message. I'm just surrendering right now. And my dad said, that's great, Wednesday night I want you to preach. Well, man, about blew the socks off of me. I thought, hey, I was surrendering to do it 100 years to 10 years from now, and you're wanting me to do it right away. I remember I got ready and I had all these notes out and everything, and I got up there to preach and I read my text, and then I made a mistake. I looked up and looked at everybody, and they were looking back at me. And I'm in those big old eyes, and everybody's just sitting there looking at me. And I said, let's pray. That's what preachers do at the beginning of their message. They say, let's pray. So I said, let's pray. When everybody bowed their head, I left. I walked right out. I don't know what my dad did with the service. I don't know how he conducted or whatever. I was scared to death. I said, you bow your head. And I just walked out and told my dad, said, take over. And I told God, I said, God, you made a mistake. You shouldn't have called me to preach. And I really thought, man, I'm not going to preach. That just proved the point that God made a mistake. But you know, if God calls you to do something, you can't run away from it. You got to do what God wants you to do, and God will bless you for doing it. God will give you the power to do it. I was so scared standing up there. I'm still scared today. But I'm glad that God is always with you. When you serve God, God will be with you. I want to tell you a story about our kids. They were up here singing. You got a kick out of them taking off the platform. This last summer, our kids like to play sports. Daniel likes to play sports. And in Ukraine, they have three major sports. They play soccer, and then they play soccer, and then they play soccer. And that's about all they know. Of course, we'll try to teach them baseball at the youth activities. And whenever I say, I'm going to pitch it, they come at it like this. Now, if you've ever played baseball, that's not the way you swing. Because if you miss, I mean, it's great if you hit it. But if you miss, you're going to get it. And so they'll come standing on the plate, and then they'll turn this way and come at it like that. I said, that's not the way you play baseball. Well, Daniel was trying to teach his sister how to play baseball. And Daniel had both of his sisters out there, and he was teaching them. And while they were out there playing, Daniel, of course, is pitching, and he doesn't take it easy on his sisters, even though he should. But he's in there burning it in there, 100-mile fastball, or however it goes, 10 miles an hour, I guess. But he was burning it in there, and he was all excited. He was striking his sisters out. Well, I came home, and I saw him playing in the yard, and I went over there and I said, Daniel, slow it down. I mean, throw it underhand. Deborah's standing there holding the bat. Now, Deborah was the smallest one. She's 8 years old. And she was holding this big old heavy bat while she was up to bat. And as I came back there, I told Deborah, trying to help her out to bat. Now, how many of you have played baseball before? You know how to play baseball? Do you understand if I say choke up on the bat? Do you understand what that means? All right, you understand what that means? That means to move your hands up the bat, and it helps you get a better swing. Well, Deborah, she didn't understand what that meant. And I said, Deborah, before you swing, you need to choke up on the bat. And she looked at me as sincerely as she possibly could, those big brown eyes, and she looked at me and went, and I guess that's what she thought choking up on the bat was. But I wasn't going to let her choke up on that bat like that. So whenever somebody tells you something to do, you want to get a clear definition of what they mean by that. How many ever you would probably do the same thing? You're laughing at her, but you'd do the same identical thing. Take your Bibles and turn to Galatians chapter number 2. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter number 2, and we're going to look at just one verse here. Verse number 20. This is one of my favorite verses. The Apostle Paul wrote this verse about being crucified with Christ and what that means to be crucified with Christ, to have Christ living in you, but then living a life for Christ. Galatians chapter number 2 and verse number 20. I was thinking, as Brother Angel was saying, it was hot over here and it was cool over there, about the times that we've started churches in Ukraine, and to see people come to church even when it's cold. The first few years of our first church, I never took my coat off in the wintertime. I would always stand, I'd take my hat off out of respect for the Word of God, but I would leave my coat on. Everybody would leave their coat on. You could see your breath as you were preaching. And so every church I go into, if they have heat, I don't even care if the heat's set at 50. It's hot to me. It feels warm in there just because we got used to going to church and being a shivering, just standing up there preaching. But I'm so glad that God has given us the privilege of preaching the gospel to people. And you know, when somebody comes to church, even when it's cold, you know they love the Lord. How many of you would go to church if it was freezing cold in a building? I look out and I see people coming, and they're not just there to show off new clothes. They're coming to hear the Word of God. And even to sit in a cold room and to sing and to listen to the preaching, that tells me that they love God, and that ought to be the love that we have. Galatians chapter 2, and we're going to get right into the message today. Galatians 2 and verse number 20, the Bible says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. As Paul wrote this to the churches at Galatia, he said, I am crucified with Christ. This was not a boastful statement. This was not Paul bragging and saying, I am crucified with Christ more than you, but rather a challenge, saying, just as I have laid my life down on the altar and on the cross, and I've taken up my cross, and I'm crucified with Christ. He was challenging them to be crucified with Christ. God wants us to live a crucified life. You say, how can I live a crucified life? How can I lay my life down on the altar? Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I am on the cross, but yet at the same time, I'm living a life for God. And then he explained, he said, nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but it's now Christ living in me. It's no longer me. It's no longer Matt Hudson. It's no longer you. It's not your name. It's now Jesus Christ in us. The theme of this missions conference is for His name's sake. And that's the way we live, is for the name's sake of Jesus Christ. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. And the question today that we have to ask ourselves is, am I crucified with Christ? Have I put my life on the altar? Have I ever said that I want to live for Christ, not for myself, and no longer for my glory, and no longer for my name's sake, but just for His name's sake, I am crucified with Christ. I like what Jim Elliot said, the missionary who was killed by the Aka Indians. He said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He who puts his life down on the altar and says, I want to live for Christ, and now that means that I'm going to put my will on the altar and on the cross, and now, from this moment forward, I'm going to live for Jesus Christ. I like in the Bible the types that God uses to explain how to live the Christian life. You know, it's amazing and it's ironic that Jesus' death on the cross is the key to our life in Christ. You say, how can I live a life for Christ? We study the crucifixion, and when we see how Jesus died on the cross, that uncovers to us and it opens up to us the key for living the Christian life. You say, how can I live alive for Jesus Christ. I have got to go to the cross and I've got to see what Jesus did on the cross and how He lived up until the cross and how His life was crucified. And then that opens up for me and it helps my mind to understand and my heart to understand how I can live for Jesus Christ. So take your Bible and turn with me to John chapter number 19. I want to look at the crucifixion, and we're going to today just quickly look at a passage of Scripture that will help us live a crucified life for Jesus Christ. Everybody ought to live that. This is not just for the pastor. It's not just for the missionary. It's not just for the evangelist. It's for everybody. Every boy, every girl needs to live that crucified life. Everybody ought to say, I want to live for Jesus Christ. He saved me. He died for me. He shed His precious blood for me on Calvary's cross. And today I have the privilege of living for Jesus Christ. I can represent Jesus. He now lives in me. John chapter number 19 and verse number 31. The Bible says, the Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. Get in your mind this setting. There were three men on the cross. In the middle was Jesus Christ. The Bible says that they came and they wanted to break their legs. Verse number 32. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other, which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. One of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. He that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. Notice verse 36. For these things were done, that the Scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again another Scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. And Jesus there on the cross, picture the body of Jesus hanging on that cross. Here the Roman soldiers, they had orders from the high priest and from the Pharisees that it was the Sabbath day, it was the Passover, and they could not leave the body of Jesus hanging on that cross. Jesus had already been beaten. He had already had his beard plucked. He had already had a crown of thorns placed on his head. He had already been mocked. He had already had his garment ripped. He was already a bloody mess, and Jesus had already suffered great things. He already hung on the cross, and everybody went by mocking Jesus and making fun of Jesus. And there he is hanging on the cross. In the closing moments of his death on the cross, the Bible says that Jesus said, "It is finished." Those are some of my favorite words in the Bible. Jesus said, "It is finished." He paid for our sins. I could take you today in Kiev to a monastery underneath the main Orthodox church in Kiev where people go down in these little catacombs, down in the tunnels. And they'll go way down underground and they'll pray to icons as they go along, burning candles. And when they get down there, there are little rooms and there are coffins. And they'll kneel down at the coffin and they'll pray and they'll ask the saint who was buried there and whose name is on that coffin for blessing in their life. And they go and they say, "Oh, I pray that you'll bless me." And tourists come by and they snap pictures of it. But those people are sincere in what they're doing and they think that those saints can answer their prayers. And when I think of that, I think Jesus on the cross said, "It is finished. He paid for our sin." And I don't need to pray to a saint. I don't need to pray to some relic or some icon on the wall. I can pray to Jesus Christ. But there are people around the world today who have yet to hear that good news. You hear that and you just sit there like no big deal. But for a lot of people, they would love to hear that Jesus said it's finished. That Jesus already paid it all. And Jesus on the cross, His last words were, "It is finished," and He paid for everything. But the Bible says that the soldiers came and they break the legs of those who were also dying with Jesus. You see, there were two other criminals that died at the same time Jesus was on the cross. They deserved what they got. They deserved everything that they did. They were wicked. And so when their legs were broken, it was a purposeful thing. It was to make them die a speedier death. It was to expedite their death. See, a person could hang on the cross for hours, and sometimes they could pull themselves up and they could continue to resist. And so to speed up their death, they would come and they would break their legs. I need a young man that will help me out today. One of you guys want to help me out? Somebody want to be a volunteer? Yes, sir, come up here. Only one person raised their hand. Boy, that's a volunteer spirit. Man, I like that. He has no idea what he's getting into. We're going to crucify this young guy today. What's your name? Dan. We're going to crucify Dan. How many want to see Dan be crucified today? All right, I do too. All right, Dan's going to be crucified on the cross. We're going to say Dan's one of the malefactors. He's one of the criminals that are hanging on the cross. And what the Roman soldiers would do, just so you get a picture, as he's hanging on the cross, spread your arms out like you're on a cross, they would come up to him and they would break his legs. Now, they weren't just coming up tapping his legs like this and say, oh, that hurt. They would come up with maybe a lead pipe or some kind of a club, and they would shatter the legs of that person to the place that he could no longer hold up his weight and he could no longer resist, and then he would die the death. Many Bible scholars say that they would shatter the bones so much that it would just go into splintery pieces, and they would break the legs and shatter his legs. It would be painful then to hold up his body. So picture with me, they come to the first criminal there, and they break his legs. They smash his legs. And maybe for them, that was a wonderful thing. I mean, they thought, this is great. We can take out some anger. We can vent some anger and just bust this guy's legs. And then they came over to the other criminal, and Dan's going to be criminal number two also. They came to his legs and they did the same identical thing. They broke his legs. But the Bible says that when they came to Jesus Christ, Jesus was dead already, and they break not his legs. So what they came to Jesus and they saw Jesus hanging there, but Jesus was already dead. He was no longer resistant. He had already said, it is finished, and he had already accomplished everything. So when they came, they were ready to break his legs, and they stopped and they did not break his legs. And there's an important truth that is brought out here. It is a Bible prophecy that was being fulfilled at that very time. The Roman soldiers had no idea what they were doing. They came up there and they thought, well, he's already dead. We don't have to waste our time. But what they were doing is fulfilling Bible prophecy that was given years before about the Messiah who would come and die on the cross. Dan, thank you very much for that illustration. See, that didn't hurt. And these guys down here, big old tough guys, didn't even want to raise their hand. Nobody wanted to put their legs on the line and get their legs broken. But Jesus fulfilled Bible prophecy. You say, what prophecy was that? The Bible says in the book of Exodus that the children of Israel were to bring a Passover lamb, and that lamb was to be their atonement, as Jesus would be the Passover lamb that would cover our sins. His blood would pay for our sin. What they would do is on the 10th day of the month that God had ordained, they would take a lamb and they would watch that lamb. Can you imagine with me taking a lamb and watching that lamb? They had to make sure that there were no diseases. They had to make sure that that lamb was not sick. They had to make sure that there was not a broken bone in that lamb's body. If that lamb was dragging a leg behind, or if that lamb was sick, they had to take that lamb out and they had to get another lamb. On the 14th day, they would take that lamb then and they would slay that lamb. They would take the blood and they would anoint the doorpost of that of their house. And then the death angel would pass over. And if he saw the blood, he would pass over their house and they would be saved. And so they had to take that lamb. You see, when Jesus came, John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." And all the Jews heard that and they said, "What's he talking about? I don't understand this." But Jesus was the Lamb of God. He was the one that took away our sin. And so when Jesus was hanging there on the cross and they came up and they were ready to break his legs, they break not his legs because the Lamb of God could not have a broken bone in his body. And they fulfilled Bible prophecy. Now what I just told you is the interpretation of that passage of Scripture. Jesus fulfilled all Bible prophecies. Hundreds and hundreds of prophecies that are mentioned in the Old Testament and types that are given. Jesus fulfilled every single one of them, and Jesus is our Messiah. But I want to give you an application to this passage of Scripture. And if you remember in the beginning, I said that the death of Christ on the cross is the key for us to understanding the life that we're to live in Jesus Christ. As you and I study the death of Christ and how He hung on the cross and how He paid for our sin and the sacrifice that He gave, it helps us to understand how I can live my life for Jesus Christ and how He wants to live through me. So you and I ought to study the death of Christ. We ought to take it and say, I want to make every application possible in that passage of Scripture. Take your Bible and turn with me to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. And I want to make a quick application about this passage of Scripture. Just be a help and a blessing. Maybe somebody today can take this home and say, this is what I want to do. I want to give my life to Jesus to be a sacrifice and Jesus to live through me. Look at verse number, verse number 30 for sake of time. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 30. The Bible says here, "For we are members," he's talking about the church here, and he says, "we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones." He's speaking now about Christ and the church. He says in verse number 32, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." He's speaking about the church. He's speaking about people who have been born again, who already have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And what he said is, we are of his flesh, we are of his body, and he said, we are of his bones. And so the application I want to give today is that in the Old Testament, it said the bones of the Messiah could not be broken. They couldn't be broken. In the New Testament, we see that being fulfilled. As he hung there on the cross, they came up and they break not a single bone in his leg, and Jesus fulfilled that prophecy. But what I want to tell you today is that if you and I are part of the church, we are of his body, we are of his flesh, and the Bible says we are of his bones. And that is a typology, and that is a mystery. As he said, it is a great mystery. I believe today that just like the Roman soldiers came up to Jesus' legs and they were ready to break his legs, but they did not, I believe the devil today is after Christians and he wants to break their legs. I believe that today the devil, more than ever before, he is after the legs of born-again Christians and he wants to break their bones. You say, why is that important? Because Jesus told us that we are to live a crucified life. If you've ever been saved and you trusted Christ your Savior, you started living a life in Christ. Now you may be backslidden, you may be away from God, but Jesus lives in you and He wants to live even more through you and He wants to show His love and compassion to everybody through your life. So you're crucified with Christ. Whether you want to admit it or not, if Jesus Christ lives in you, then Christ now wants to live through you. And Jesus Christ wants to show everybody His love in your life. But the devil knows that. And what he wants to do, just like the Roman soldiers did when I had Dan up here, they want to come and they want to expedite that death. They want to speed it up so you no longer can fight, you can no longer resist, and you die faster. And so what the devil comes is he comes and he sees a young person, maybe a young man, that once said, I want to live for God. I want to live that crucified life. And what he comes is he says, you know what? I want to make him a dead Christian. I don't want him to live for God. I don't want him to serve God. So if I can break his legs, that'll speed up his death and one day he won't even be in church. And he says, if I can come, there's a young lady that one time said, I want to live the crucified life. I want to live for God. I want to dedicate my life to God. And the devil comes and says, you know what? That Christian is fighting. That Christian's living for God. And if I can come and just break their legs, if I can knock them off their stance, then they won't be able to resist anymore. And he knows that one day you won't even be in church. One day you won't be reading your Bible. Young people, one day you won't be serving God. And he knows that. And so what he's after the legs of Christians. Just like the Roman soldiers. Picture with me the pain that they were standing there on the cross and they would come up and break those legs and then the man would scream out in pain and he would quit putting up a fight and he would die. And I've seen a lot of Christians, and I believe today that the devil is trying to break the bones of the body of Christ. He's trying to break our legs. And I believe when we come to a missions conference, a lot of times we say, God, I want to live the crucified life. I want to dedicate my life to God. I want to serve God. I want to live for God. But you've got to realize that the devil, just like the Roman soldiers, he is trying to break your legs. He's trying to take your legs out. And I believe today that a lot of Christians are losing sight of this one truth, and that is keeping them from living the crucified life. You say, why do I need to have strong legs? Why do I need to make sure that my legs never get broken? Let me give you three things that you can do with your spiritual legs. And the devil wants you to lose every single one of these things. You know, if you've ever had a broken bone, I thank God I've never had a broken leg before. I've seen people, I saw some crutches here. Do you have a broken leg? Do you have a broken foot? Broken ankle. I saw those crutches today and I thought, what a great illustration. I'm so glad I have not had to walk on crutches. My heart goes out to you. I'm glad that better you than me. I'm glad I'm not walking on crutches. But you know, when a person has a broken bone and they're limping around and the pain that they're in, that's what the devil wants you to be like. He wants your Christian life just to be worthless, where you can't run, you can't walk, you can't do anything. And let me give you three things that the devil wants to take from you. Every young person in here, you ought to remember these three things. Three things that you need to do every day with your legs. And the devil says, if I can knock his legs out, break his bones, spiritual bones, he'll be worthless. He won't serve God. I don't care how many times he's raised his hand saying, I want to live for God. If his legs are broken, he'll die a death and he'll be a worthless Christian. He won't even be serving God. And there'll be a day where he doesn't even go to church anywhere. You say, what are these things? Number one, God wants us to take a stand. You know, you can't stand if your leg's broken. You know what you want to do is you want to lean. man, I got to lean on a crutch somewhere. I got to sit down somewhere. I can't stand. And there are a lot of young people who once took a stand for some things that God wants us to stand for and no longer are taking that stand. They've had their legs broken and they're on a path that they'll die a death. They can't lose their salvation. They won't lose that. God gave it to them. But they'll become worthless in the ministry and they'll become worthless for God because they're not able to take a stand. You say, what should I take a stand for? You ought to take a stand for God. You know, whenever somebody says something about God, you ought not to be ashamed of God. You ought not to say, I'm a Christian, man. I'm just over here mealy-mouthed. I'm not going to say anything. You ought to be not ashamed of God. You ought to be willing to take a stand. I like being around young people who take a stand. I like it whenever young people say, I'm not ashamed that I go to a Christian school. I don't have to say that with my head bowed. You know, I'm so glad I went to a Christian school every single day of my life. Never once had to go to public school. I'm not ashamed of that. I remember I would go and I would be around other kids that went to a public school, maybe in church or maybe on the playground or maybe at the gym playing basketball. And they would say, you go to that Christian school. And I'd say, that's right, I go to a Christian school. I'm not ashamed of it. I want to take a stand for what's right. You ought to take a stand for God. You ought to say, I love God. You know, we ought to take a stand for the Word of God. We ought to take a stand for the Bible. The Bible's not just a book. This isn't just some words in a page that we set up on the shelf somewhere and we forget about it. But that is the living Word of God that God wants us to know and God wants us to have in our heart. And we ought to take a stand on it. I like the Bible, the song, the B-I-B-L-E. I'll stand alone on the Word of God. You ought to say, I'm going to take a stand for the Bible. I'm going to take a stand for the Word of God. Whenever my teacher gives me a verse to learn, I'm going to learn it. I'm going to take a stand. The devil knows if he can get you to quit standing on the Word of God, he'll break your legs and you'll be worthless then. You won't be able to resist. You won't be living that crucified life any longer. And he wants to break your legs. He wants you to take a stand. Something else you ought to take a stand for and against is sin. You ought to take a stand against sin. You know, I went to a Christian school. I told you that. In the Christian school I went to, there were young people that listened to rock music. In the Christian school I went to, there were young people that were on drugs. They would come in and talk about it. In the Christian school I went to, there was a lot of talk that should not have been spoken. There was a lot of things that people, young people said that they should not have been saying. Brother Caleb and I were sitting at a basketball game Thursday night. And he and I were sitting right in front of some young ladies that were talking like they should not have been talking at a Christian basketball game. So don't look at me and say, it doesn't happen. You ought to take a stand. Whenever somebody comes up to you and tries to give you all that information, you ought to say, you know what? My ears are not trash cans. I'm not going to listen to that. I'm going to take a stand because I know the devil wants to break my legs. And if I ever sit and just listen to that, all that garbage goes into my head and then that garbage stays there and before long I'm worthless and I'm not living for God. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a stand. Somebody comes up and tries to get me to listen to rock music, I'm going to say, no, I'm going to take a stand against sin. I'm not going to do that. I want to live for God. God has a purpose for my life. God has a place He wants me to be. And so that means I've got to take a stand and I need some strong legs to do that. There's another thing that God wants us to do every day and that you and I need to do every day, and that is walk with God. Young man, what's your name with the broken ankle? I'm going to use you kind of today if you don't mind. What's your name? Stephen. You know, Stephen has crutches. And when Stephen walks, he has to either limp or he has to lean on something. It kind of affects his walk. I don't know if Stephen was a basketball player, maybe he was a football player, maybe he's a track star. You know him better than I do, but it kind of slowed you down, didn't it? Can't walk around as fast anymore. And what the devil wants to do is he wants to take our walk with God. You say, what's our walk with God? That's our daily Bible reading. That's our daily prayer life. That's our daily communication with God. He wants to take that away from us. And what he wants to do is he sees a young person saying, boy, I want to live for God. I want to be crucified with Christ. I want to live with Him. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And he says, you know what? I can get you to stop doing that. Man, that's easy. You know, all I need to do is just break your legs and you'll quit walking with God. And then before long, you won't even be in church. You won't even be serving God. And so he comes up and says, you know, today you don't need to read your Bible. And today, today of all days, you were just in church yesterday and you heard preaching all day and you don't need to read your Bible today. And you say, you know, that does make sense. I was in church all day yesterday, so today I really don't need to read my Bible. And, you know, I did pray yesterday. I went down to the altar even, so I don't need to pray today. And the devil says, that's right. And he swings that club and he breaks your legs. And then before long, it becomes 2 days and 3 days and a month and a year. And then before long, you're no longer saying, I'm crucified with Christ. And the reason is, he breaks your legs. And he comes up and he breaks that leg with the walk with God. I like the story of Enoch.
The Bible says Enoch walked with God and was not. Why? Because God took him. God said, Enoch's walking with me. Just being in communion with God every day, fellowshipping with God, every day walking with God. You say, how can I be a crucified Christian? How can I live for God? Just walk with God every day. Every day. Wake up in the morning, the first thing. I mean, before you run down there to get your cereal and before you run down and do everything else, you ought to say, I want to walk with God. I want to spend some time in prayer. I want to spend some time reading my Bible. Before I get ready for school, anything, I want to make sure I communicate with God. I want to make sure my legs are strong. I want to make sure as a Christian that I can keep going on. There's another thing, and I've got to move along quickly, and that is, He wants to not only take away our stand, and not only our walk with God, but He wants to take away our walk for God. And I believe our walk for God is a very important part. And so many times the devil attacks not only Christians. He attacks, specifically, he attacks preachers. He attacks missionaries. He attacks whole churches to lose their walk for God. You say, what am I talking about? What do you mean by that? You know, when we live a crucified life for Christ, we say, I want God to use me for His glory. I want God to use me so people will come to Christ. And here's what happens. The devil takes notice of that. You know, whenever you have soul winning and you go out and you tell people about Jesus, the devil notices that. You go out and knock on doors, and the teenagers, I understand, you go out and knock on doors and you tell people about Jesus and you witness wherever you're at. The devil notices that. Don't think that he doesn't notice that. He notices that. And what he looks at is he says, you know what? I could get them to stop doing that if I could break their legs. If I could knock their legs out from under them, then they would no longer be able to continue to live that crucified life, and they would just become worthless. And so what he does a lot of times, he comes and he breaks the legs of people where they no longer go. You know what the Bible says? Turn, if you will, to Romans chapter number 10. Romans chapter number 10. I want to show you this verse, quote it to you, but Romans chapter number 10. It talks about specifically about the feet of those that preach the gospel of peace. The Bible says here in verse number 15, how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them, watch this, the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Boy, how beautiful are the feet. If you looked at my feet today, you would say they're not beautiful. But whenever I'm telling people about Jesus Christ and how He loves them, God says those are beautiful feet. And so what the devil says is, he said, those feet are beautiful because they're telling people about Jesus. So I want to come and I want to break their legs, and then they'll quit telling people about Jesus. You know, when the Bible says that we're to take on the whole armor of God, it says to have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's to go out soul winning. And the devil knows that if he can ever break our legs in the area of soul winning and telling people about Jesus, that we're on the road to destruction. We're on the road where we'll no longer be that crucified Christian. We'll no longer say, I want to live for Christ. We'll say, you know, my legs are kind of broken. I'm kind of feeble. And I really don't tell people. I don't have a burden for other people. I've seen churches, even since we've been back on furlough, that have their legs broken. Oh, one time they were supporting missionaries. One time they were sending missionaries. And today just very few missionaries supported. And the reason is because the devil one time looked at them and said, you know what, that's a church doing something. So what I need to do is I need to break their legs to walk for God. They're no longer telling people about Jesus. And before long, they just die up and dry up, and they're not serving God. And so you and I say today, boy, I want to be the crucified Christian. What do I need to do? I need to make sure that I have strong legs. I need to make sure every day that the devil's not breaking my leg. You know, the devil can't come and take your salvation, but he knows if he can do something to hinder your testimony for God, one day you'll be on the shelf, you won't be doing anything, and he's accomplished everything he can in your life. He can't take you to hell, but he can knock you out where you're no longer serving God. I realize as a missionary, every day the devil's coming, and I have in my mind a picture, just like the Roman soldiers coming up there breaking the legs. And I say, you know what? What today, if I don't watch it, he'll try to break my legs too. If I don't watch it, he's going to come up and he's going to do my best to knock me out. And so I say, Lord, help me today to have my feet shod. Help me today to walk with God. Help me today to take a stand, never to waver on that stand. Take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. You say, well, what can I do, man? I notice in my life that I've already let the devil, he's got some shots in on my legs. Let me show you something. I like this passage of Scripture. There's hope. And you know, Stephen, when you had your leg broken, did you just take care of it yourself at home? You one of those Rambo guys, you just set it yourself and bit down on the leather and you said, I'm going to do it myself. You didn't do that? You probably went to a doctor, didn't you? Did they give you any kind of pain medicine? That's nice, isn't it? That was awful nice of them. I don't like doctors, but they gave you some pain medicine. They gave you some crutches. Wasn't that nice? I mean, they took care of you, and it's healing now. And you know, whenever our legs get broken, we can go to a doctor, we can go to Jesus Christ. We can say, you know what, I once lived a crucified life, but man, I'm not taking the stand that I once did. And I once was walking with God, reading my Bible every day, but I'm not today. And I once was out sowing and I had a burden for people to tell them about Jesus, but today I'm not. And you know, we can go to a doctor. Look, if you would, chapter 12, Hebrews 12 and verse number 12. I like this verse. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, notice this, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. When Stephen broke his ankle, the doctor didn't say, you know what, let's just cut it off. Stephen probably said, you're dropped dead. You're not cutting my leg off. It's just broken. Let's set that thing. But so many Christians, sometimes they get away from God and they just say, well, let's just let it keep going on. And before long, chop the leg off. No, God says, come back, let it rather be healed. And so what you can say today is, I want to be a crucified Christian. I want to live for Jesus Christ. I want to serve Him with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind. I want to do everything for Jesus. But I realize that just as Jesus was on the cross and they wanted to break His legs, that Jesus, the Bible says He was dead already. And here's the very most important part of the entire message, and then I'll be done. He was already dead, and so they didn't break His legs. When you and I as Christians say, it's not my will, but God's, I'm dead. It's Christ that liveth in me. It's no longer me. It's no longer, what does Matt Hudson want to do today? It's now, what does Jesus want to do today? The devil comes and says, He's dead already. He's dead already. He comes and says, you know what? The flesh is dead. The Bible says, mortify the deeds of the flesh. But I know in my own life that there are times that Matt Hudson tries to resist. There are times that I say, I'm not dead today. And the devil says, hey, he's still fighting. Let me break his legs and knock him out and just totally get him. But whenever you say, you know what? I want to live that crucified life for God. I hope today that there are some young people that will say, I want to be a crucified Christian. I want to lay down my life and I want to say, God, I'll do whatever You want me to do. I'll serve You. I gave a testimony yesterday morning about when God called me to the mission field. Whenever missionaries would come to our church, my dad was the pastor, and I thought it was my responsibility to give missionaries a hard time. I really did. I thought that's what preacher's kids do. I mean, the missionary comes, sets up his display. You go by and ask him all kind of questions. How many cats are in your country? And what kind of food do the cats eat? And how are you able to kill cats? And I had all those questions down. I knew them all, man, that you could ask those missionaries and then just watch the missionary look at you like, well, what should I tell this preacher's kid? And I always loved that. And I never dreamed that God would call me to the mission field. I was sitting in a service one day, and a preacher preached a message about serving God. And I had never said yes to God. I had never said yes that I wanted to serve God. But as he preached that message, he said, what you ought to do is you ought to take a blank sheet of paper and you ought to sign that sheet of paper and just say, God, here's my contract with You. I'm just going to sign my name and You fill in the rest. And I went home that night and I remember sitting on my bed and then I laid there thinking about it and finally I got on my knees by my bed and I wrote my name down on the blank piece of paper. And I said, God, that's for You. And you know what God wants in our life? He wants us to come to a place where we say, I'm crucified. I'm going to live for God. I just want to serve God with all my heart, with all my soul. I'm still going to school. I'm still living at home. That's fine. But I'm going to try my best to live for God and be crucified. And watch out. It's what the devil does. He looks up and he notices that. The devil says, you know what? I got to do something about that. Well, I've got to get him off that cross. I've got to make it expedited. I've got to speed it up. And he comes and he tries to break their legs. And I can tell you today that it is a sad thing when you see people with their legs broken. Christians who once were serving God, now not serving God. I've got some friends that I went to school with. One friend is in jail today. I've got several friends that once said, I'm going to be a missionary. I'm going to serve God, that are not even in church today. And I look at their life and I say, Lord, help me never to go down that path. But it's by the grace of God. We all could do that. If we don't say, you know what, day by day, I'm going to make sure the devil doesn't hit my legs. He comes at you attacking every moment. Daniel, come up here for a minute. And with this, I close. Brother Vineyard likes to give what he calls a vineyard hug. Have you ever had a vineyard hug? Has anybody ever had a vineyard hug? Watch out if you're around him. He says he wants to give you a vineyard hug. You better be ready for it. Daniel's already ready. He'll come up to you like this, and he'll just smack you across the chest. That's a vineyard hug. Well, Daniel
knows that. And so when he goes to shake Brother Vineyard's hand, he show him what to do. He puts his hand up there ready to block it. He's ready. He's always ready. Now, Brother Vineyard is watching this week, and Brother Vineyard, I'm sure, is going to find a time where Daniel's not ready. I'm just waiting for it. I'm kind of hoping he finds a time. And he's got to be prepared all the time. Daniel walks around, and he sees Brother Vineyard. He's ready, man. He's got his hand up. Bow your head and close your eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The crucified life. You know, it's not that hard. It's just saying, Jesus, I want to live for you. Jesus, I want you to live in me and through me. I want you to be number one in my life. No longer I. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. When's the last time you told God, well, I want to live the crucified life? Maybe you're not as on fire as you once were. You say, boy, I want to make sure that my legs get healed, not just cut it off, but I want to make sure it gets right. Lord, I pray you'll bless now everything that was said. I pray you'll speak to hearts, and I pray that you would use some young people here for your glory in the years to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. It's interesting how that in many of these services, guest speakers come in, it's the same reoccurring theme, especially to the youth, of simple Bible reading and just spending a little time in devotions and trying to keep your walk with God right. It's not some warm, fuzzy feeling. It's not some mystical, spooky aura. It's just taking a little time for His Word. Give Him attention, pray, and that right there is the best antidote, the best protection to keep Satan from breaking your legs. God wants us to stand, walk with Him, and walk for Him, and Satan tries to break our legs. Somebody might be here this morning with legs that are already somewhat broken. Maybe you haven't taken a stand. Maybe you had a chance to, but you gave in. Or maybe your walk with God has been hurt. Maybe your walk for God has been hurt. Or maybe you're just not even, maybe you're not living protected from Satan's attempts. It's a great message, great thought. I pray to your Heavenly Father that you'll speak to us. And that, dear God, you'll help us to watch our legs. So that we can stand, walk with you, and walk for you. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies, please. Just a